Chapter 1, just verses 1 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain said, he came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give us a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Deb. I have a bone to pick with you because you knew that these men were coming and you didn't tell me. I'd like to introduce you to these guys over here. These guys are part of my men's group that I attend Tuesday, and I just love these guys, and I better stop because I'm going to get real emotional just to see them here. So thanks for coming, guys. Appreciate that. Well, today is, or this whole month is Pastor Appreciation Month, so I'm told. I guess that's why Joe decided to take off the month of October. And that speaks well of your pastor, because that's humility big time. I, not being so humble, decided to come and preach in his place. So that just goes to tell you a little bit about the two of us. Thank you for having me once again. It's always a privilege to come and speak with you. And you're brave because you got me for 3 weeks, like it or not. So here goes. I decided, as I got to thinking about what to speak about, 3 weeks, I'm there, well, that's a series. I love series. I like to do series. So I got to thinking, and God directed me to Jonah, because Jonah, I think, is a lot like all of us, really. And, you know, we look at Jonah, and we can criticize him and, you know, say, well, he should have done this, and he should have done that, and why did he do this, and why did he do that? But, you know, that pretty much characterizes most of us, or all of us, at one time or another in our lives. And if you take a look at Jonah here, he's, and by the way, this series is going to involve a lot of C's. I probably should have said, you know, control or heeding the call of God, but I want to speak more about control next week as one of the C's. So we're going to take a look at the call. What is God doing here with Jonah? Jonah is called by God to go and confront the evil in Nineveh. Now, you don't know much about evil today, right? There's evil everywhere. And, you know, when we look at what is God calling us to? What is God calling me to? What is God calling you to? I think many of you probably say to yourselves, well, what's my call? I don't really know what my call is. What's my purpose? You know, what does God want me to do? And I believe that this is the word of God, not only for Jonah, but for us. God is calling all of us, to confront evil. And what happens when God calls us to confront evil? Well, you know, if you're much like most people, when you're called to confront, you really don't want to. And why? Why don't we, you know, confront when God calls us to confront? Because when we confront, there's usually conflict. How many of you love conflict? Over here, you love conflict? People think I love conflict, you know. Been confronting conflict, you know, pretty much most of my career. And everybody thinks I love it, but I hate it just as much as you do. But it, for some reason, God says, Al, you're going to do more of it because you hate it, I guess, than anyone else. And so that's pretty much what's been going on. But conflict. Why do we hate conflict so much? Not rhetorical question. Why do we hate conflict? What's that? People can get hurt. Okay. Is that why we avoid it? It's uncomfortable. Why is it so uncomfortable? Because what? Okay. Yeah. Ah, there's the key word, and I didn't key her into this either. We're afraid. See? We're afraid that, what are we afraid of? That somebody's going to get angry with us, or somebody's going to get mad at us. See? And so what do? When we're called to confront, knowing that there's going to be conflict, what do?
Hide.
What else? Definitely. We run, don't we? What did Jonah do? Right? He ran in the opposite direction, right? People are going to get mad at me. Right? And I think that's pretty much true of us. And that's why we don't confront. Because people might get upset with me. And so we avoid conflict like the plague. I was going to use my wife as an example here, but she threatened me that if I do, then, you know. So I am not going to do that. Oh. Bonnie's going to have words for you later, buddy. Well, I better avoid it. Yeah. But let's just say I'm used to I'm used to people not facing conflict. Let me put it that way, all right? And again, I'm the one that usually says, okay, we got to face this. You know, we got to face the conflict. However uncomfortable it might be, even if you're going to get mad at me, I'm going to face the conflict. And Jonah is running away, not facing conflict. And what does God do? God says, okay, you know, while I'm speaking about it, you don't want to mess with God. You don't want to mess with God. And we all mess with God. And I'm going to say, you know, take it from me, you don't want to mess with God. And yet, that's what happens so often. We mess with God because we think we know better. And here, Jonah messed with God and ran. And so God said, okay, you know, I'm going to bring this storm upon the ship where he went into the ship, and you know, all the sailors there, and they don't know what to do, right? We just read it. And there's a huge storm, and it's getting stormier and stormier, and you know, everybody's afraid. And who brought this upon us? And they cast lots, it says, and it fell upon Jonah. And Jonah's there, uh-oh. And you know what? When we don't heed the call of God, you know, sooner or later, God is going to catch up with us. Right? And we will heed the call of God. Because you don't mess with God. Right? And what's going on here is Jonah said, uh-oh, right? And then he finally fesses up. You know, I'm the reason for this. I messed with God. I ran. I didn't confront. And so they said, he says, throw me overboard. How many of us, I think, would do that, right? When we finally fess up to in not heeding the call of God, doing something we should do and we didn't do it, right? Throw me overboard, right? It's me. And they didn't really want to throw him overboard, but then God said, okay, take some more. You know, the storm got even more and increased. And so finally they said, well, you know, hey, we don't want to mess with God either, so grab Jonah, throw him overboard. So that's what they did. They threw him overboard. And then I like this, right? At verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. I like that. You know, it wasn't just happenstance. And when we mess with God, God has an appointment for us to turn from what he, you know, from running away to heeding his call. And when we do that, and the appointment for Jonah was to be swallowed up in this great, great fish, right? And then we'll see in chapter 2, which we'll talk about next week, he finally comes to his senses, right? And he begins to repent. See? And God is calling us to confront evil. True. And in our day and age, there's so much evil to confront. But how do we do it? How do you confront? Well, I'm going to say that you can't confront evil unless you confront your own heart and the evil that exists within your own heart. And we are told that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all else, in which there is no cure. If you think, right, that, hey, I don't really have much going on in my heart right now, well, I would challenge you to take a look, okay? Because our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all else. And because that's true, we constantly need to be cleansed. Our hearts constantly need to be, you know, I'm married to a wife that does wash every day. You know, and I appreciate that because I always have clean clothes. In fact, I don't even know how many clothes I have because she keeps washing them and putting them out, and I wear the same thing over and over again, you know, because it's clean, right? It's great to be clean, isn't it? Right? Take a shower every day, right? Put on clean clothes. It's great to be clean. And to confront, we ourselves need to be clean. We need to be confronting our own sin. And sometimes, you know, when we think about sin, we think about the biggies, right? We might think about abortion, right? Or we might think about, you know, sexual temptation or sexual sin or various addictions and so forth. And probably here most of you don't have to worry about those kinds of things. But what about things like our arrogance, our pride? You know, we talk a lot about that in the men's group, don't we? Don't we, Tim? You know, Tim, one of the first times I met Tim, he kept hammering me with pride, and I wanted to choke him, you know, because we don't want to hear about our sin, right? And especially pride. But pride can lead to our downfall. It led to my downfall, led to Tim's downfall, and many of our downfalls. It goes back to pride. thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And in order for us to confront sin, and in order for me to stand here today and to speak to you, right? I prayed for all week long, Father, bring to my mind the sin that I need to repent of. Cleanse me, wash me, so that I might come and be able to speak this message to you this morning. Because who am I? I'm no one greater than you. I'm a sinner just like you. I sin every day just like you. And most of it comes back to my pride or arrogance or selfishness or things like that. When's the last time you repented of those kinds of things? Right? And I think many times we don't confront because we haven't confronted our own. And it's like, who am I, you know, to confront evil? Who am I to do that? Well, God calls us to do that with others even. But first and foremost, we need to be doing it with ourselves. And in order to confront, we need to speak truth. And God's word says, speak the truth, what? In love. And if you are on your knees before God and repenting of the things that God is pointing out in your life, then you're going to be humbled. And when you go and confront the sin of others, then it's going to be in love. We've been there. I am there. I'm with there with you. See? Then we're going to be able to do that in love. And we're not going to be harsh with people. And we're not going to be taking them by the throat, right? We're going to say, hey, you know what? What God has pointed his finger at, you know, my life and what I'm repenting of, you know, if it's pride, hey, maybe there's some of that going on with you. I don't know, but, you know, maybe you need to take a look at that. Okay? Confront in love. Speak the truth in love. Okay? And when we do that, then it benefits us. It benefits other people. And if you look at what's going on in our world today, right? What would it be like if we were to confront in love instead of being angry? You know, there's so much anger going on today. I mean, it blows my mind. This past week, I ran into it in a number of places, and I said to Deb, "Explain this to me, will you?" And she's kind of shaking her head, and you know, I finally came to the conclusion: it's anger. It's anger, 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 anger. Okay? And what's the antidote to anger? Love, isn't it? Right? Confront, yes, but confront in love. And I would challenge all of you today, as I've challenged myself, to confront the sin in your own life. And it's, you know, subtle kinds of things probably. Okay? But what happens? Instead of that, we run, and then we find ourselves coping. You know, coping mechanisms, have you ever heard of those? Right? Yeah. And we all cope in some way or another. And when we're coping, you know, we take on things like what? Anybody know? Do you know we're all addicted to something? For some of us, you know, it's not alcohol or drugs or sex or, you know, whatever that might be. But it's things like maybe the extra brownie. Right? Marcia's shaking her head. Right? And I love sweets. I don't know about y'all, but I love sweets. And I used to drink RC Cola, and I don't know why, I just really, really liked it. And finally, after going through 2 liters a day, I convinced myself, somebody said, ooh, yeah. I convinced myself, wait a minute, I'm addicted to this, you know? And I had to cut back. But we're all, and Why do we cope? Because it makes us feel better. But you know what? It only makes us feel better for a little bit. See? And God is calling us to something greater than feeling good. He's calling us to the joy that comes with a clean heart, with a clean mind, with clean choices. And again, I'm going to be talking about all this in the coming weeks. Our choices, what choices do we make? Right? And I'm going to close in a word of prayer right now. And I would like you to just bow your head with me as we prepare for the communion table. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, where it says that we're to examine our hearts, especially before we partake in communion. And many communion services kind of leave this part out, but I'm not going to, right? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and just say, you know what, God, examine my heart. Look at my heart. Forgive me for what's there. Whatever that is, name it, right? Cleanse me that I might be clean and prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. Would you all bow with me and pray that? Amen. And I didn't use my whiteboard this morning. What's amazing?